kwamnyako na uhuru na utukufu hata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe, brought to you by JamboEveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios at an altitude of 1,998 feet above the savannah. And joining me from his home, actually, a man who has a pet reindeer he named Little Red, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you?
And now I have to run out and get a pet reindeer named Little Red.
Mike, you're home today because this is a special episode of the Radio Harambe podcast. So rather than, which is good because you're home for the holidays, correct?
I am home for the holidays.
Right. And what we're going to do on today's show is...
Yeah, I got to make sure Santa Claus can find me.
Yes. He'd have a hard time in the jungles of Zambia trying...
Yeah.
They have jungles in Zambia.
Yeah, he knows I'm here, so he can find me here.
Excellent, excellent. This is a special episode of Radio Harambe. We're recording this early. We're going to take some time off during the holidays and not come back really on with a new episode until probably about mid-January. But we wanted to sort of piggyback on our last episode and put out one here during the holiday season that is our wish list for the year 2014. On our last episode, we did our year in review for 2013, and we wanted to kind of look forward now and just add what we think we would like to see. And this is how this is going to work, Mike. You are allowed 5 items on your wish list for the big man. You get 2 little things we think can and should happen, 2 medium things we hope will happen, and 1 big thing we know probably won't happen. So, like, you know, you put a few things on there you'd really like to have and you know you think isn't too hard, and then you got that one Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle that only we can pray for. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Although I want a leg lamp. I don't really want the Red Ryder BB gun.
Okay.
But 6 of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, don't complain.
I do have about 42 things on my list, so I got to do some editing before before we delve into this.
Well, you could take your red marker out and start working on that now. but before we begin, I actually wanted to mention something. Again, we're recording this before the holidays. This show is going to come out probably right after the holidays. And we are just learning today, and the reason why I mention it is because one of the things I was going to say actually happened today. We're kind of early in the process of this, but it seems that some of the walls in Harambe have come down. In fact, come down. And so like I said, we're not going to do any news today, but we wanted to report this because this was something I wanted on my wish list. Some of the walls have come down, and we have what appears to be, or what we now know, is a new Dawa bar right next to the old one. And here's the good part. It looks like it's got more bar stools.
Yeah, it looks a little bit bigger. It looks kind of nice from what I can tell. It's hard to really see it in full right now from the pictures I've seen, but it looks nice. It's closer to the Tusker House for obvious reasons.
Right. So just quickly, when we were, for people who've been there, have seen pictures in the last couple of months, you were looking at the Dawa Bar, and then in between the Dawa Bar and the Tusker House, there was walls and construction going on there. And I remember when I was there smelling polyurethane, something was being painted, something was being made. And we didn't know what that was, and we were kind of speculating it might be kind of maybe another counter service or something like that. No, this is what it was. It was a brand new Dawa bar.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, you think what's going to happen here is the old one's going to be gone, correct?
Right. So what I've heard is that and by the time you hear this, you know, some of this will be over with, but and we'll put this on the blog too. But on December 21st, the new Dawa bar will be open, which is Saturday, December 21st, right before the holidays. The old one will close down, and then shortly after that, sometime after the holiday, and as you know, Disney fans know, things start closing around January 5th, January 6th, once the the hectic Christmas season is over and they've gone into the days of January and the crowds drop precipitously. Once that happens, you can expect the whole area there where all that outdoor seating was in the old Dawa bar, it's going to get walled off as they get ready to make that into, you know, essentially the entranceway to the Festival of the Lion King area.
Right, because as we reported before, this is a big area that's going to be more than just a theater. It looks like we're going to be walking into a rather large area with a big waterfront. So that does kind of put to bed any idea that the entrance needed may not be all that big. They're building a, you know, a promenade at least as wide as the one that is already in the middle of Harambe. So that makes all the sense in the world. But that makes a little bit of a problem for those seeking shade, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, as some of you who have been in Harambe when it has rained may know, there is really only one place where you could sit down and enjoy a meal in the rain in all of Harambe, and that is by the Dawa Bar, or where the Dawa Bar used to be by the time you hear this, is all that those chairs and that seat, that's right. Area there underneath that awning. The place where you sit right behind the Tamu is all open. It's an open courtyard. So there's no, that doesn't offer any protection in the rain. So there will be no dry areas in rainstorms in Harambe for you to sit down and eat your Tamu Tamu meal.
Not really all that surprising, if you think about it, Mike, because since they turned the Tusker House from a counter service to a table service, those outdoor tables were not used anywhere near as much as they had once been.
So, correct. It's usually empty there. Yeah.
So it's a sacrifice, but it's one they probably have to make. If they're going to, if you know, we start to see a problem with people not being able to eat, I'm sure they'll find some creative way to put a cover on the courtyard there.
That's probably what they'll wind up doing. But, and I hope they remove that at some point in time. But yes, at least from what we can gather, there might be not a lot of dry areas there for a couple months.
So this is our first salvo in the remake of Harambe here. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I'm positive about it. I mean, they built a brand new Dawa Bar. They put in more bar stools, more seats at the bar, which everybody wanted because there was only a half a dozen at the most.
Hey, I don't even think there were half a dozen.
Yeah. So now there's probably, you know, a normal kind of pool bar size group of chairs there. You could sit at the bar, you can relax. You know, that's what I wanted. I couldn't be happier.
No, it's fine.
A plus.
A plus, is that what you said?
Santa Goofy brought me an early gift here.
A plus might be a little, we'll have to, the jury's still out, I think. I want to see what it looks like around there once they're all done before I give it an A plus, but this is fine.
Yeah. I'm just glad they thought to do that because I really literally thought they would just remake what they already had, which I like, but you know, when you have the opportunity to do something else, you take it and they seem to have improved on it. So that's what I like to hear.
Yeah, that's good.
So you ready to get into the wish list? I'm not going to count that one. That was one that I had, but you know, Santa came early. So I added an extra one.
Sure.
So what we'll do is we'll start with the little ones. Again, two little things we think can and should happen. And I'll begin. My first one is that I hope sometime in the new year, and I have good reason to believe this is going to happen, the Buridika Band will have a compact disc available for guests to purchase, either in the park itself or outside the park. It doesn't make a difference to me, but they are to me the best collection, the best live entertainment offering anywhere in Walt Disney World. A lot of the other ones sell CDs, and this is the one that really needs one because they're fantastic, and it would be nice to see some help, you know, in promoting them a little bit. And it's really completely selfish on my part. This is just something I want to have in my car to listen to. So that's my first one.
Yeah, you and Chef Keith from Dole Whip Daily, the two of you are firmly entrenched in the Get Buridika Band a CD. to sell in the park.
Yeah, again, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be in the park. If there's reasons why it's hard for them to do so, what have you, it doesn't matter to me. But I know the band, as they've told me, they've been working on one. I would just like to be able to have something under my tree that says Buridica for me to listen to at some point in time.
Well, I really hope they do sell it in the park. I would really like to see it in Mombasa Marketplace and, you know, the areas around there, because I think that's great for the band. I mean, you get to hear them and then go buy their band, you know, buy their CD. But yeah, I mean, as long as it's available on iTunes, I'll get it. Absolutely, I will. I already purchased the song that was released by the I forget his name off the top of my head from the band.
I can't pronounce it. Nadi.
Yeah, that's got it. I put that like a month ago. It's a great song, and he's a great artist. And so I'm totally with you.
Now, what is your first one on the little list?
All right, you'll notice that I have a couple of food items on mine. So we'll start off with food. One of my favorite places to look at, but one of my least favorite places to eat at in all of Disney World is Pizzafari. It is a beautiful restaurant, great artistic designs inside. It's a lot of fun to sit in there.
Oh yeah,
the pizza stinks on ice.
It's
the typical Disney pizza that you get at, like, Toy Story, Pizza Planet.
It's better than that.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's a little bit better than that. You're right about
it's
that.
It's a little bit better than that. Toy Story Pizza Planet is you can't even eat that.
Yeah, it's atrocious. But anyway, but it's, you know, in that vein. And I've noticed in other places such as Pinocchio Village House and a couple of others like the Mara and things like that, they've gone to the flatbread. And I would like to see Pizzafari, and I think this is a legitimate, possibility, to go to the flatbread, which Disney seems to do a lot better than regular pizza. Give you some different choices here for different kinds of flatbreads, like you get at the Mara, like you get at Roaring Forks, and I would eat there. As opposed to just sort of maybe peek my head in, use the restroom, take a couple of pictures, and go out. So that's my first one.
Flatbreads are much easier for a company like Disney to make. They are not reliant on creating a great pizza dough, which means you have to make it fresh. You have to pretty much make it there, fire it right there. Disney doesn't want to do that in a large setting. So what you end up with, especially at Pizza Planet, is often pizza that your lunch lady from when you're in grammar school back in the 1970s would be ashamed to call her own. So you're absolutely right. The flatbread is the way to go. they can do it.
Well, up other places too, like Pinocchio's Village House, where it's not gourmet by any means, but at some of the counter services in hotels at Pinocchio's Village House, it works well enough where it's decent.
And they can be creative with it.
Right. And you could do a couple of different things like goat cheese and eggs or, whatever.
Right.
It may be a flatbread of the day, whatever. It would be a little bit more, it would be a lot more interesting place to actually go and eat.
And then if you want to serve a traditional looking frozen pizza kind of thing for the kids, great. Whatever. That's fine.
I'm against that. That does not count in my little thing.
That's not on your wish list?
No. Okay. Hold that crap pizza out.
Well, then I'll quickly move to my next item of my little things, my final little item. And that is, we've talked before about Harambe and about the building of the new festival, the Lion King Theater, and we've talked ad nauseum about this. And one of the things we're definitely seeing is that there is going to be a large waterfront area just adjacent to the new theater. We think it's for viewing of the new Rivers of Light. I'm sure it is. But I'm hoping that in there somewhere is a seating area, an outdoor waterfront seating area for something, be it a bar, be it a counter service restaurant, be it a sit down restaurant. It doesn't matter to me, but that area right with the bridge coming over, and maybe you get a neat little view of the Expedition Everest if you're in the right angle, and it looks like you're going to be able to because of the way you can see it jetting off to the left. I just hope that they use that waterfront not just for people to pile up and watch the Rivers of Light, but for also for people to seriously enjoy the waterfront. And I'm being real open with this. Like, you could do it. Like I said, you could do whatever you want with it. You can make it a counter service, sit down, whatever. I just hope they have some kind of area where at some point in the day I can sit down at that waterfront for a half an hour and watch the and watch Harambe from that distance and to see the river. I that would be my next kind of easy thing. I don't think that's going to take much, and they're probably already doing it. But that's my thought.
Okay.
Your second one?
I have two here. I can't decide which one I want to do. I'll go with this one. I might give you both just for the heck of it.
Go ahead.
You should come up with a third one. We should do three little things, two little medium ones. But anyway.
Okay. I'll think of a third one.
As longtime Animal Kingdom fans may know, in the Maharaja Jungle Trek, where, you know, after you saw the Komodo dragons, you would see a Malayan tapir. And unfortunately, the Malayan tapir that Disney had was a little bit older, and it passed away. It was a female. And a few years ago, it passed away. And in its place, they just essentially took some of the waterfowl that were in other sections of the park, in barheaded geese that they put, and they put them in this exhibit, right before the bat house. And it just seems like a space that could be better utilized, maybe something a little bit, you know, more with more pizzazz. So I would like them to add a new animal to that particular exhibit, which, because I think it really needs it. It could be, you know, a couple of different things. One, they could bring back tapirs, which I think are great. Another one they could do is they can, you know, put the babirusa that are in the Discovery Island there, because those are Indonesian animals, and they can, you know, figure something else out for the oasis. But what I would really like to see would be gharials, which are these very thin nosed crocodiles that are highly, highly endangered. They're from India, so it fits perfectly. That's what I would like to see. And I think that people would be interested by them because they're very unusual looking. And they are from the Indian area. They're, like I said, highly endangered. That's what I want to see. That's my number two. And I think maybe not Gharial so much, but I think you may see, if this not this year, but in the not too distant future, them do something with that exhibit, because just having a pair of geese in there is really not cutting it.
Okay, I like that, and I agree with you. And it used to be a really cool thing, and now it looks almost empty for the person who's just walking by. I'll stick with the animal thing. I'll come up with a third one here. And that is, again, I think this is easy. This is not asking for a lot. What I'm hoping for, and this is probably like the biggest thing I'm hoping for, but it goes in the little category because it doesn't cost Santa Goofy a lot of money, is that the conservation message isn't forgotten about with the new things that are coming. And I don't mean just Avatar. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the Rivers of Light, but if I go to the Rivers of Light and what I see is a floating phantasmic, I'm going to be disappointed. If what I see is Mickey Mouse and the Jungle Book characters and Simba floating down the river, I'm going to be disappointed if that's what it is. I'm hoping for something more along the lines of Illuminations, something that is not a Disney promo, something that is, that offers the conservation message and the message of the planet that the rest of the park was founded on. And yeah. I hope that they continue that throughout the new areas of Harambe. They continue that in the new nighttime Kilimanjaro safaris, and even hopefully wave at it with Avatar. I think that we're coming dangerously close to going down the road of Disney's Hollywood Studios here. Especially, I think everybody fears that, especially with Avatar and with Nemo there before that, of putting things in that maybe don't meet that message. And I hope that that message is an integral part of the new things, especially the non-Avatar things. And that would be my easy one. All that takes is... Really, all that takes is handing it over to Joe Rohde to be the final to say.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, one of the things about Avatar, we've talked about this ad nauseum, is that Avatar kind of it goes against the grain of the theme of Animal Kingdom. So I do hope that, you know, they sort of, Avatar is sort of, you know, kind of, they got it out of their system. kind of thing. All right, we did the thrill ride thing. We'll put it over here in this section. Let's get back to what Animal Kingdom is about, and that's man and culture and animals and how that integrates. And yeah, Hope Rivers of Light is really kind of more geared towards what, you know, it's you know, almost like the circle of life kind of thing. You have the circle of the river, you know, the you know, animals and all that kind of stuff. I hope that's the theme. The good news is the other big thing they announced was a nighttime Kilimanjaro safari. So at least we have that, you know, that's sort of geared towards, you know, animals as well. So yeah, I agree with you. That's a good one.
And your final little one for your list?
This is one out of left field.
God, I love those.
This probably won't ever happen, but I think on Discovery Island, they need to set up a little stand. And it could be one that's existing now, but it sells Dole Whips, but not pineapple, mango-flavored Dole Whips.
How hard could that be?
That would fit so well into the theme of Discovery Island, and it would be huge, I think. I think people would flock to it. You have the citrus, you have the Dole Whip in Adventureland. Why not, you know, a mango swirl at Discovery Island? I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and you could the pineapple ones in there if you want to. I mean, I won't complain, but
I'm okay if they want to say, hey, listen, this is the only place you can get Dole. Well, actually, there's two places you can get Dole Whips.
Sure, but the Hawaiian places are the place for the Dole Whips, correct?
Yeah, I'm okay with that, but give them something different over here. If you wanted to do a couple different things, like a mango and a passion fruit or whatever. I mean,
I love it.
But something like that, which would just draw people in, like, oh, you got to go to, you know, whatever, Mr. Kamal's, because that sells the mango Dole Whips. I think that would be awesome.
I love it. That's a great idea. I'm fairly certain Joe Rohde listens to this show. So, so Joe, if you're listening, that's a good idea. I like, this is an easy one to do.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. That's why it goes in the easy category. I've never heard them utter them a word about anything like this, but it was certainly easy.
Now let's move on to the medium ones.
Uh-oh.
These are slightly bigger. These require an investment, maybe not a big one, but some investment. My first one, the reason why I'm putting it in the medium category is because I think it's medium in its impact, but it may not be medium in its investment. I could say that about both of these. I think the impact is big, but it's not. There's no e-ticket here, but one thing I would like to see is over kind of on the way out of Asia towards Expedition Everest. Mike mentioned before about some new animals. I'd like to see a snow leopard exhibit put in there. I'm sorry?
You took mine. Go ahead.
The aforementioned Mr. Rohde is a great spokesperson, you know, unofficial spokesperson for the Snow Leopard Conservancy. He did some wonderful work for it. They're amazingly beautiful animals. I saw them in at the Bronx Zoo. They were at they were absolutely gorgeous. They're hilarious, fun to watch, and they're very, very endangered. And they can use all the help they can get. And I would love to see an investment in a new animal area that kind of fits that Nepal area, rather than the India area, if you know what I'm saying, more of the mountain, you know, moving your way over there. So I wouldn't put it in Maharaja because it doesn't belong there, but a little bit further down the river. It's only so close you could probably get to the Expedition Everest without it being too noisy for the cats. But that's mine. And apparently you like it.
Yeah, you stole it right out from under me. I told you I was going to say this before.
You did? Doing?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I said that. I wanted to put a new animal exhibit over in Shirkazong.
Yeah, but you didn't say what it was.
Yes, I said red pandas, not snow leopards.
Well, red pandas aren't snow leopards.
It's the same thing. So you're building like a Tibetan ruins in over by somewhere by the Expedition Everest, a small exhibit, oh, kind of like the gibbons at in Anandapur, but just something small, maybe a little path that you would have to go to, where you would, see something like snow leopards, like red pandas. There's a couple of birds like tragopans and things like that. I think I was investigating tragopans not too many episodes ago from the Himalayan highlands, where I think it would fit in very well. in that area and would add something to it. Because right now, Shere Kazan is essentially Expedition Everest and really nothing else. There is large space going over towards Dinoland USA, as well as a fairly decent walk back to Anandapur, where there's really nothing there. And that's something they can build up, and perhaps a small little animal exhibit would be perfect. The only thing I would question is, based upon the humidity and heat of Florida, I'm not sure how well either snow leopards or red pandas would do, because I have to be honest, I searched the zoos and snow leopards, and I couldn't find any zoo that had one, a snow leopard that is, that was anywhere below, say, Georgia. Or the middle of the country, really. Nothing in, maybe San Diego might have them, but nothing in Florida, nothing in, the real hot, humid areas of the country have snow leopards. So I'm not sure if they really do well there.
Can't we do a partially indoor exhibit?
You could. You would I would think you might have to. Or at least have some ornate rock work that has cooling systems in them, they do well. I mean, even the lions in the Kilimanjaro safaris, some of those rocks are cooled, electrically cooled for the lions, pleasure.
So what you're saying is I stole your area, but not your animal.
All right. So I'm going to have to come up with something else then. All right,
No, you just did. You have red pandas. I have snow leopards. Wrong. You can put them wherever you want.
I'll come up with something else.
All right.
Let me go to my real.
Go to your other one. Yeah.
I want to see the Rivers of Light before the end of the year.
Oh, you mean done? Done and up.
Yes, done and up. Why not?
Okay.
By the end of the year. I mean, by next Christmas. I mean, I don't expect it in April, but maybe come Thanksgiving they start doing it. I mean, they've certainly been testing it. From what we've heard, they've actually, they have some of the stuff going. They're playing, they're testing it for real, after hours and stuff like that. So it can't be too far away. It might be a bit of a pipe dream to have it this year, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Cool. And I think everybody would agree with that. But and I don't think it's as much of a pipe dream as you think it is. I think it belongs in the medium thing, because I think it may actually happen and you may be very close to it. My second one, again, not huge in scope, but it does require an investment, and that would be, I hope, and we've heard about a possible new dining areas coming to, or new dining options coming as part of this sort of remake of Harambe and sort of, additions to the animal kingdom at large. And I hope that one of those things is what people in Disney call a signature dining experience, a signature dining restaurant. My idea that I've always had would be to recreate the Adventurers Club from the old Pleasure Island, but not as a bar, more a sort of dinner theater. That's kind of the idea I would go with. However, there are other ideas, other things, something as good quality-wise as Jiko in the new Harambe area would be great. Something as good in quality as Sanaa, but maybe over in the Asia area. Something that we would consider a signature dining experience, something that we have to go there. We're going to make a special trip like we often do to, well, really only Epcot, that to eat at this one particular place. I just hope that's part of the plan. I'm not sure that it is, but I hope it will be someday soon.
From what I understand, there's going to be a new sit-down restaurant in there somewhere. So hopefully you're right.
And if you come up with another one, since I sort of kind of really didn't steal your...
You blatantly read my earlier direct message and copied it.
But I'm reading your direct message and it never mentions the word snow or leopard. It said a new animal exhibit.
In the Shere Kazan.
It does say in Shere Kazan. You're right.
Like a red panda, maybe.
You're right. It does say Shere Kazan.
But
I only did that because you made me come up with a third little one.
All right. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change around a little bit. The one I was going to do for the end, for the big one, I'm going to sneak in here for my middle one.
Even though
probably fit. And that is get rid of... I would like them I don't expect this to be done by the end of the year, but I would like them to say, hey, the Rainforest Cafe is going and we're putting something new in that front eatery there. Right. Something unique, something different. I think people have been clamoring that for years. You know, people don't like that there are two Rainforest Cafes. It's always pretty quiet there, to be honest. It doesn't do as well as the one in Downtown Disney, I don't think.
I'm not sure.
And, you know, as we gear up towards having the having the Animal Kingdom open later on at night, it would be nice to have something unique. And, you know, you had mentioned before like an Adventurers Club type of thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, I have said this on the blog before. That would be my ideal. But I have actually heard, you know, I had somebody on Twitter, I don't remember exactly who it was, came up with a brilliant idea for the front of this. And that would be recreate the spirit of adventure from Up and put that in the front, which I think fits the theme perfectly. And you would dine in the blimp itself, just like you did in the movie Up. You could dine among, if you recall the movie Up, it had all those skeletons of the cryptozoological animals that he apparently found. How awesome would that be?
This is not a medium one, Mike.
Oh, this is not a medium one. You're right about that. Right about that. Well, when I do my new big one at the end, you'll see if that should have been.
Okay. Okay. I like it. Are we ready to move on to the big one?
We're ready to move on to the big one. You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
No, I'll go first, because I've gone first on the rest of them. And I'm not going to throw any curveballs in this one. The big one I'm going to say is one that I have been saying for a very long time. For people who have been reading the blog, certainly I've been writing this probably since the first week that the blog was available to read. I think it's time for Disney to take this relationship with the Chinese government for a ride and try to acquire a pair, or however it comes, however this works, of giant pandas to put in Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think it is the one animal that can offer an enormous splash, probably one that would be more welcomed and more respected and certainly more appreciated by fans of theme parks all over the world, and even the Avatar thing would be. I guess it would go in the Asia area, like we've already talked about, but there is room over there. There's actually a lot of room in between Expedition Everest and the Cali River Rapids. Mm-hmm. They are very difficult to deal with. I'm sure Mike can talk to you about that more than I can. I don't know if it works with the weather, like Mike was talking about before. I don't know that. But I do. I have heard this suggestion bandied about quite a bit in the rumor mill and from people like me who just would like to see it. It is the one item that I think Disney can do. It would cost them a heck of a lot less than building a roller coaster would. And it would be something that I think people would go absolutely nuts for. And it would go back to the thing I was saying before, which is to go to that return to that conservation message, return to that animal theme, and to finally add an animal that, you know, a new really marquee. And there really is no bigger animal to bring in zoos, Mike. Am I correct about this than the giant pandas?
You are correct. They are atrociously difficult to keep. They are very particular about what they eat. You have to be able to get special kinds of bamboo and or grow it, you know, nearby yourself. In terms of the heat, that's not necessarily that big of a deal because they are found currently in Atlanta.
Right.
They're found in Memphis, San Diego.
Okay.
In Washington, D.C. So a lot of southern places. And to be honest, you know, Tampa Busch Gardens came close to getting them. I know there were negotiations to get them. So they would be relatively okay. You probably would have to build, you know, they could, you know, at night they would probably be in a building that would be cool. But they would be okay in the heat of Florida, in all likelihood. But they're difficult to keep. And of course, as you know, they cost millions of dollars just to rent them from the Chinese government.
Sure.
Now, whether Disney can somehow work around that, like the National Zoo did for it was essentially a gift to President Nixon,
right,
the two pandas. If Disney can have some sort of arrangement, that would change the equation, because you will see several, you know, some zoo people telling you that what San Diego and Memphis and Atlanta have done is probably not a good investment in the long haul. Although, you know, they added, you know, attendance, certainly it does cost them millions of dollars a year to keep them. So it's a tough, you know, it's a tough thing to do, but you are correct. They would bring people in.
It's an e-ticket attraction. It can't possibly cost more than what they're spending on Avatar. It can't possibly cost more than what they put into Expedition Everest. And honestly, I think it would probably create a bigger buzz than either of those two things. Mm-hmm. And if the Memphis Zoo can do it, and the Memphis Zoo can feed them and upkeep and do all those things, I have full confidence that the Animal Kingdom crew can do it too. You know, and I think they would probably see a greater monetary return on that investment than any zoo, with the exception maybe San Diego, but that any zoo could possibly ever do. I mean, their marketing ability is certainly much broader than those. Their merchandising ability is certainly much broader than those. And they could really do something here. I mean, they could really make an incredible splash in the market. So
it's an interesting question. I am not sure that you're correct. So when you talk about Zoo Atlanta, which, you know, brought pandas in as part of their complete makeover, was a poster child for what zoos were not supposed to look like when they were at one time. They were all cages and things like that. And they really overhauled it. So as part of that, they got pandas. And the Memphis Zoo, which was a fine institution, but not world renowned by any means. And they wanted to take it up a notch in terms of, you know, how respected they were. And San Diego, just being San Diego, decided to, you know, all of them decided to lay down the millions of dollars and you know, $10 million a year for rent or whatever it is. And you know, they made that play. I'm not sure how much of a bump in attendance Disney would have. I mean, those zoos don't have anywhere near the appeal. They're not bringing in 10 million people a year at those zoos. They're bringing in the thousands in a year.
It is probably, Mike, the only reason, maybe not the only reason, but one of the biggest reasons why people go to the Smithsonian Zoo, the National Zoo. It is the biggest calling card for that place.
I 100% agree with you, but and that's why they well that's not exactly why they have them, but
no,
that's why Memphis has them, that's why Zoo Atlanta has them, that's why some of the other zoos were, you know, really contemplating it, because it would, you know, these places where they have 500,000 people come to see them, or, you know, less than a million per year, bringing in another 300,000 or 400,000 people just to see the pandas is a big deal.
Right.
Bringing in another 300,000 is not that big of a deal for them.
Yeah, but I think your uptick out of Disney just from their marketing ability alone. Mike, you'd have pandas on national commercials.
I understand that.
I mean, you're not going to get that at any other zoo. You're not going to even get that at the San Diego Zoo. You're going to have a panda as the spokesmodel for Disney's Animal Kingdom on commercials broadcast during a Super Bowl, for crying out loud.
Right, right. The question is this. Do the people, I mean, the people who go to the National Zoo, as you pointed out, are going to see the pandas, essentially.
Right.
Same thing with, not so much San Diego, but same thing with Zoo Atlanta, a lot of, and of certainly Memphis. People are going there because, hey, they got pandas, let's go there. Do you think anybody's booking a trip to Disney World because Disney now has pandas? I'm not sure if I buy that.
Well, I can make that argument for almost anything that they build,
true,
with a few exceptions. But I think that a lot of people who come to Disney, who go there for Mickey Mouse and Dumbo and yada, yada, yada. I'm sorry, I don't mean to disparage those things. But people who go there for because that's what that sounded like, and that's not what I meant. For people who go to Disney for that, for the Magic Kingdom, really, and don't attend the Animal Kingdom, I think this would solve that more than any Avatar or roller coaster could do. I think this would change that pattern. And I think
the only thing I'm not sure about, and you are correct in one thing, it's almost like getting an e-ticket ride, but it costs a lot less. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
That's what I mean.
But I'm in my mind, the vast majority of Disney people. And I could be dead wrong about this, and pandas may be a different type of thing. But a lot of them are just, you know, this roller coaster to this dark ride to this lunch to this roller coaster, and then, you know, that's it. You know, the touring plan mentality of step one, step two, step three, eat, step four, step five, step six.
Right.
And in the animal kingdom, as we've said many times, and just like World Showcase, does not really lend itself to that kind of person, which is to its detriment to some degree.
Sure.
And why it's criticized by some faction of Disney people who don't sit and enjoy the smell the roses or whatever. And this would be sort of geared that line. So I'm not sure. I'm kind of debating it in my head, and I'm not sure on what side I come down as to whether it would be a smart move. It certainly wouldn't be a bad move. I can't imagine that. But I'm not sure if it would be as big of a game changer as you may think.
I think it would be as big a game changer as Expedition Everest.
See, I'm not sure if I agree.
And
with
probably
that.
Bigger and better. And better received than Avatar. Though that's setting the bar kind of low when it comes to being received.
I'm not sure, but go ahead.
Shall we move on to yours?
Sure.
You're never going to convince me otherwise. I've been saying it forever, and I think it's the one thing that Disney really should be doing, and considering the footprint and the investment and the facilities that they already have, the ability to adapt their facilities to this. I mean, if they put a dark ride in there, it would just be another dark ride for 3 years from now. But anyone who's attended the Animal Kingdom, every girl under the age of 14 is going to want to go see the pandas and be walking around the park afterwards with a giant panda stuffed doll that has a, you know, t-shirt of Mickey Mouse on it. So that, anyway, what's yours?
Okay, since I had to move...
I forced you to switch things around.
After I started talking, I thought of the perfect medium one, and I didn't say it. I didn't think of it, and that would be Bring Back Dinosaur Jubilee.
But, oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if they were able to bring that back? I mean, that's probably will never happen, so that probably doesn't really belong here. But
I would bring it back as a permanent structure, not as a tent like it once was. But
yeah, well, whatever. Put a dinosaur museum in the Dinoland area somewhere, like have actual fossils. That would be great.
Definitely.
But I'm going.
That's not your big one.
I don't know. You think I should be the big one? I don't know if I should. That should be the big one. This is what I was going to say. You tell me which better.
Okay.
Rafiki's Planet Watch needs a little help. Uh-huh. I think we all agree that it needs something. And for people who were fans of, but you know, some concept art of the old Disney, and I think I actually did a blog post about this particular attraction, I would build the Circle of Life carousel in over by Rafiki's Planet Watch somewhere to draw more people over there. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it was actually a three-tiered carousel where the bottom tier, you would ride little boats that went around in the water, and you would ride in fish and dolphins and sea turtles and whatnot. The middle level was, you know, your typical carousel, except you would be riding things like zebra and deer and other animals from the land. And then I think you know where I'm going. The top would be kind of a Dumbo-esque kind of attraction. But in this particular instance, you'd be riding, you know, birds, bats, you know, maybe perhaps flying squirrels and stuff like that. And I think it would be a fun thing to add to Rafiki's Planet Watch. You can even, you know, stick Rafiki on top of it if you want and call it the Circle of Life Carousel, like I said. You could also add other attractions there. I thought of in my head as we were talking, and so I'm doing this off the cuff, but maybe sort of a Flight of the Bumblebee, a roller coaster, like a kiddie roller coaster out there where you, you know, are a bumblebee zipping through a garden where everything is oversized and you're going past like a giant audio animatronic spider as you're flying through a garden. You know, stuff like that to sort of enhance Rafiki's Planet Watch, add attractions, but also, you know, keeps with the theme of the area.
I like the Circle of Life one. I think that's great, and I think that area would be great. I think that's exactly what they would need. That definitely works. That definitely fits the description as your Red Ryder Carbine Action 200-shot range model air rifle that we are looking for.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. But don't ever forget. Don't ever forget that the there's a common, you know, a cliche within Disney Imagineering, and no good idea ever goes away. So maybe, I mean, I think that was a good idea. And for people who don't know, that was originally one of the ideas for the icon of the park.
Yes.
This center attraction, that they were going to build this gigantic carousel. And obviously, you know, they decided not to do that. And it died pretty quickly in the history of the park. It didn't last long. But, you know, it was a good idea for an attraction somewhere. And I think, you know, Rafiki's Planet Watch is a perfect spot for it. It doesn't really fit anywhere else, to be honest.
And it would cost a lot more than bringing in pandas.
What about my Bumblebee one? You like the Bumblebee one?
I like it. I like it. Now, I want to throw you a curveball before we go.
You've already thrown me a couple.
No, no. This is a good one. since we do the world news, and Mike, you are the world news connoisseur, so to speak.
If you say so.
What about a big list? Well, you could do any. Little, medium, big, whatever. Something you would add on your wish list for Walt Disney World outside of the confines of the Animal Kingdom. What would be one thing you would love to see?
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me think. And this is pie in the sky, or?
It could be either one. It could be as small as a CD from a band to as big as a giant carousel.
So I could go Mo Rock and CD if I wanted to. Interesting. I'm gonna go to the Hollywood Studios. I'm gonna go pound this guy. I'm gonna really give you like off the radar here.
Okay.
One idea that I have had for a ride in Pixar Place, because Pixar Place right now is basically Toy Story Midway Mania, and it really needs other stuff.
Course.
And
yeah.
you have some empty sound stages there where you could do this. And my idea was for, you know, fans of Disney, they know of the trackless system that has been utilized at a couple places in the Asian parks, Mystic Manor, the Honey Poo Hunt, or the Poo Honey Hunt, I think is the name of the ride.
Honey Poo Hunt?
Whatever the hell it is. So I don't know. And anyway, so it's a trackless system where you basically, you're in your car and you move around and it can go pretty much go anywhere in certain spots. I always had an idea that would be perfect for The Incredibles, where you would be zipping around scenes of a battle between all the different Incredibles, including Mr. Incredible and Mrs. Incredible and all that kind of, Elastigirl, I mean. And, you know, all the different characters from that movie, Frozone and all that kind of stuff, battling giant robots and aliens. Nice. And all that kind of stuff. I think it would be a fun ride and a fun thing to add to Pixar Place. And, you know, Hollywood Studios need stuff I would want to go on.
Well, I'm impressed that this did not involve Star Wars in any way, shape, or form. When you first said Hollywood Studios, I thought for sure I was going to get something Jedi related.
Oh, that's too easy.
Yeah, well, and mine would be, you know, is equally as easy, which was that sometime this year we'd have an announcement of a new World Showcase Pavilion of any kind. I don't care what it is, just something new. A new World Showcase Pavilion, a new country that is beaten, and not just another restaurant along the water. Let's build a new World Showcase Pavilion. We've been talking about this for 30 years, about building a new one of these, it feels like. And it's time to finally to do one. Let's get an announcement of a new World Showcase Pavilion. That would be my number one.
I want two.
Two World Showcase Pavilions?
Yes, I think you're a nail on the head, and this is that yours is actually better than mine, I think. I'll give you my two because you hear the same group. Yeah, you see India,
Brazil,
Australia, Russia is so Russia. Common.
Yep.
Brazil, you know, you always hear Brazil. Mm-hmm. You even see concept art for Russia.
Yep.
But I have two countries. I'm thinking out of the box. And because two of my favorite are Norway and Morocco, and they don't really, I mean, people, you know, don't really think of those countries when they think of national, you know, international superpowers and just, you know, whatever.
Sure, sure.
Here are my two. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chile would be one. It is an interesting country. It's, first of all, it's South American. You don't have any South American countries in it.
Yep.
It's very interesting. You would get a good restaurant, which I know you don't, you're not interested in restaurants so much, but that is an important aspect.
Oh, it's huge.
Of the World Showcase experience.
Right.
It has very good wine. So yes, you can have an excellent wine bar.
Yes, it does.
And I'm also very into the museums that they have, these little museums in these pavilions.
Yeah.
For those that aren't aware, this Easter Island is part of Chile. And they could have a fascinating exhibit about Easter Island. And you can even do perhaps a movie, because there hasn't been a good sit-down theater experience in quite some time, I think. At World, not Stupid Circle Vision, but a sit-down movie where, maybe just 15 minutes or whatever, where you get kind of the experience of Chile. That would be number one. What do you think of that one?
I do like that. I think I would have gone for Peru and gone with a Machu Picchu theme, but I do like...
not bad.
I do like Chile.
Here's number two, and this one's really out of the box.
Okay.
I'm going to go Ethiopia.
I like that one. I know, and this is culinary, isn't it?
No. Well, first of all, yes, food. There's an Ethiopian restaurant here in Montclair, New Jersey, which is amazing, and I recommend anybody in our area to go see it. It's a great food. It's fun too because you don't get utensils. You have to eat with bread, which is fun. But forget that for a moment. And obviously that would be part of it. But the history behind Ethiopia. First of all, you could have again a great museum exhibit about, some of the archaeological finds. I mean, as we all know, the first humanoid, Lucy, was found in Ethiopia. It's considered the cradle of human human life.
Yep.
You could have an interesting exhibit. And you can even, I think you could do a fascinating dark ride that starts with pre-dawn, the dawn of mankind, and Lucy and all that kind of stuff, and work your way through the history of Central Africa in Abyssinia, which is ancient Ethiopia, and go through all that kind of stuff. And Ethiopia is interesting. It's one of the few countries that, really fought back from European colonialism and, sure. and was like the only independent country in Africa for a long time.
Yep.
It's a very rich history, and you could have a dark ride, like I just said. I think that those would be my two choices.
Yeah. I mean, you always hear Egypt bandied about. Obviously, there's political issues with that now. And I was always afraid that if they built in Egypt, they'd end up making it look like a Las Vegas casino. that's my fear. So I like this. It's good. I like both of them.
They're out of the box. They're more like Norway, Morocco than they are Germany or China.
Yeah, kind of along that Costa Rica feel.
Another excellent Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Well, what would you do? What would you do?
If
you could, one country, what or two or whatever you want to do, what would you do?
Oh, I would definitely stay out of Europe or North America, and I would
North America. You got Canada. You got
you have everything there. I would probably stay out of. I would certainly go into Africa or South America because it's ridiculous to call it the World Showcase and to not have countries represented from those two continents. You have
Morocco, though.
You have Morocco, yep. But so I would probably stick in South America. I've always liked the Brazil concept stuff that I've heard, the idea of Brazil. But Machu Picchu, Peru would be mine. I mean, I like the Peruvian idea.
Yeah, that is a good one.
But Easter Island kind of swung me. I didn't think about Easter Island.
It's cool, right?
Yeah,
it would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I don't know what if you do an attraction based on it or just maybe a museum to educate people about how interesting that whole situation in Easter Island is and what that entails.
Cool. Well, I think that's it for us. I think we've done it all. Now, if we could just get all these things, we'd be happier, guys.
Fair enough.
So like I said, the show's going to be taking a little bit of a break. We're going to take a break through the holidays, and I got some traveling to do in early January. So we probably won't be back with you until probably the middle of January or so. So just make sure you're subscribed to iTunes, and as soon as a new one comes out and you're on our Twitter accounts, Mike, you can find him at Jombo Everyone. I am at Radio Harambe. You certainly will be able to find out when we come back with our next show. If you're listening to this on iTunes, we always ask you that you rate us and leave us a review there. It helps us You know, this is the end of our first sort of calendar year doing these things, and it's been a great time. And I'd certainly like to thank everybody who's been involved with helping us throughout 2013. You guys all know who you are. It's too many to name. And, you know, come and see us. Come and see us on Twitter. Come and visit us at Facebook. Go to JomboEveryone.com, and you can find all the links there to all those accounts. Mike's got, what do you got, Pinterest? We're putting up some YouTube videos, some great stuff going up on there now. You know, and also go to our conservation page where you can help us kind of get the word out about conservation. Mike, I guess that's it, right?
That's it.
All right. So for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. Now,